Welcome back to the Starry Eyed Mystic podcast. Today we're going to be talking about your big three in astrology, or your sun, moon, and rising. Everyone that is introduced to astrology in this modern day and age usually gets asked this question, what's your big three? And then it leads to a whole conversation. I don't know what that is. Let's pull up your chart, plug in your birth info on a website, and calculate your natal chart for the first time. At least that's how it's happened for a lot of my clients. But today I want to talk and tell you guys what it's all about. And essentially what it boils down to is you want to be your sun, you feel like your moon, but life keeps bringing you back to your rising. So I tweeted this out. It was received pretty well. Put it on Instagram. It was received pretty well. So I figured, why not talk about it on the Starry Eyed Mystic podcast? So today we're going to dive into the details a little bit. I did write a blog post about it on my website, thestarryeyedmystic.com/blog, so you can read more about it there. I'm also going to be hosting a class, Your Big Three class, on November 3rd, and we're going to dive into this in depth. We're going to be breaking down in depth your sun, your moon, your rising. We're going to discuss your chart ruler. We're going to put it all together, have some customized magic rituals for you to walk away from the class with, and knowledge on how to read other people's big threes. Lots and lots of great information. It's going to be, again, Friday, November 3rd. It's going to be at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but you can also just sign up to watch the recording, and it is going to be $44.44. Come through Angel Numbers. And if you are interested, you can find more details on my Instagram and whatnot, and reach out to me there if you're interested in going. I will also be sending out an email to my email newsletter subscribers, so check it out there as well. But let's get into the podcast. So let's start by talking about the sun, your sun in astrology. So if you want to be your sun, when we refer back to this introductory phrase that you can loop back to time and time again, the sun represents you, right? It represents a piece of you, and all of these pieces, the sun, moon, and rising, all are pieces of you. The sun, however, is representing the core essence of your ego. Why you want to be your sun is because you're growing into the development of your sun on an ego level. It's very conscious. It's very much, okay, this is the personality traits or the skills, the way of seeing the world that's going to bring me the most success on a personality-based level, okay? So when we think of the sun is connected to the center of our solar system, right? It's what literally brings us light and life. So if we don't have light, we don't have consciousness, we can't see, we can't navigate our way through the dark. And if we don't have the sun to bring us life, we feel very drained and a lack of vitality, a lack of energy. So we need our sun in order to consciously see our life. And we need our sun in order to feel sustained, replenished, and that we have something worth living for, essentially. So the sun is our confidence. It is our identity. It is, as we grow and evolve, what we admire in other people and other leaders, and we think, hey, I want to be like that. I would like to embody these traits. So for example, you know, if you are a Pisces sun, maybe you're going to identify with people who showcase a lot of Pisces energy in their chart, or even they don't have that in their chart so much as they just embody the Pisces archetype of being sensitive and creating safe spaces and merging the physical with the non-physical spiritually or artistically and creatively. So when we think of our sun, we're really thinking, this is what I want to be. And on a deeper level, I want to be my sun because it is what's going to fuel me, fuel the fire within me, give me confidence, and make me an individual leader among the rest. So, you know, the sun being in Leo is at home. The sun being in Aries is exalted. So these positions of the sun naturally kind of understand their solar journey. a lot more easier. They're more resourced in a way. It doesn't mean they're more successful with their placement necessarily. It can mean that, but what it really means is they're more resourced. And, you know, the sun in Aquarius and Libra, it struggles a bit more because Libra is the opposite of Aries and Aquarius is the opposite of Leo, opposite of where the sun is doing very well in Libra and Aries, right? So when the sun is in Aquarius and Libra, we notice that there's a little bit more of a challenge in this lifetime to step into this identity, to feel like I can develop something for myself, that I can focus on developing my own identity outside of the groups for Aquarius and outside of my relationships for Libra. So doing solar remediation, like really learning and educating yourself on your sun sign, its house placement, and what you need is very helpful. And of course, we'll be talking about that in your Big Three class more in depth on November 3rd. So if you're interested to attend live at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time or grab the recording, be sure to reach out to me because we'll be talking more in depth how you can utilize your solar energy. And if you know you have a more difficult time with that, what we can do to remedy that and make sense of it and go in the right direction. Now let's talk about the moon and your lunar energy. So if you want to be your sun and you feel like your moon, while the sun is your consciousness and the ego and the personality you're developing, the moon is your baseline natural disposition. It is how you were raised. It is how you were raised to process emotions. What you observe from caregivers and how you are nurtured by caregivers. Therefore, it's like your emotional inner world that you just essentially, based on your upbringing and your childhood and past lives and what have you, you just really are on a subconscious level, okay? You really are just going to feel like your moon forever. It's not so much evolving. Of course, we can do inner work and work on our emotions, work on our emotions, work on our emotional intelligence. We can't change who we are at our core, right? And the core essence of who you are is your moon. It is your moon sign. It is your moon house placement, the aspects, all that good stuff, etc. So when we look at the moon, we're really going to see the lunar energy, what we need in order to feel safe and loved. And our moon is our natural disposition, like I said. So that's the key component when it comes to relationships, because that is where our moon comes out the most in relationship dynamics. Oftentimes, we're kind of in this like solar rising sign energy. And then, you know, we could go even deeper into it. But for the simplicity of the Big Three discussion, yeah, you know, we're in our rising, we're in our sun energy typically. When we're in a relationship, though, that's when our lunar energy really is starting to come out, okay? This is where we're starting to connect with people on a really intimate level. We've reached beyond the first impression. We're diving deeper romantically or platonically or what have you. And so this is the side of yourself that not everyone maybe gets to see unless you have a connection like a Cancer rising or Cancer sun, because then that's ruled by the moon. But regardless, your moon is where you're very sensitive. You are in tune to relationship dynamics and, you know, what you need in a relationship. So with lunar energy, it's really important to take a look at that when it comes to relationships and relationship compatibility, because your sun can be flexible to change. Your rising sign surely is constantly evolving and changing. But your moon sign on some element is just who you are in your natural disposition, what's going to make you feel safe based on your past and who you are and how your experiences have made you internally, emotionally. And so it's very discomforting to the idea of like changing that core essence of yourself, right? So looking at your moon sign and looking at others' moon signs and house placements and aspects, and of course, taking the entire chart into detail is going to show you what your emotional needs are, what theirs are, and how to work together to bridge those together. Regardless, just for the point of this discussion, you want to remember that your moon sign, and when you're looking at other people's moon signs and placements, it's telling you a story of how this person feels internally, how they're processing the world behind closed doors, and what, when they're at home, makes them feel safe, when they're in their element, and when they get in the natural groove of a relationship, how are they going to naturally be? And last but not least, your rising sign is what life keeps bringing you back to over and over again. And the rising sign is also known as the ascendant. It is when you took your first breath, you know, the archetypal energy you breathed in at that time. And therefore, it is like who you are in the very objective lens of the universe's eyes and what you came here to do. So, for example, those with a Cancer rising, like myself, are born to learn all about the Cancer archetype of family, community, belonging, feelings, heart-based. And so the rising sign is something that time and time again, no matter how foreign it feels to you or how familiar, you decided to, before incarnation, circle back to time and time again to relive. So it's really telling of someone's life path, the way of the light, like their life that they're going to live, the type of choices they're going to make, the direction they're going to go in. And it's very much like, even if that person doesn't identify with it on an ego level like the sun or on an emotional level like the moon, they are still going to be walking this path, whether they consciously kind of take that in or not. And so when you get someone's rising sign, it's a lot of the time something that, you know, they can accept it or they cannot, you know. So whether or not you know your rising sign's a part of your identity or not, maybe, maybe not, depending on other things in your chart, but it definitely is going to be a life path theme that you circle back to time and time again. And the way to come to understand your rising sign and not really push away from it or avoid it if it's something that you dislike is to kind of take inventory of how that archetype has helped you in your life, right? Where its lessons and energy and topics around that archetype have saved you from difficult situations, right? Like if you're a Aries rising and you don't really feel like an Aries rising because you have so much water in your chart or something, and you've heard Aries are selfish and you've had bad run-ins with Aries suns or something, you can remind yourself of all the times the Aries energy of being a warrior through life and being independent, autonomous, have really saved you and helped you level up. And so when you're in a sticky situation in life, of course, there's transits and other things to consider. But you can, on a very big picture level, step back and go, okay, I incarnated as this rising sign. I chose these lessons. And what is this teaching me? And how can I relate this back to that? And how can it help me make better decisions and what have you? So to combine the three together, come to understand that your sun is a part of you. Your moon is part of you. Your rising is part of you. And the rising sign is your life path, the things you're going to encounter over and over again, the challenges, the blessings, the overall energy of what you came here to do. And therefore, of course, that's a part of you, right? Because you're going to be influenced by these experiences. That's going to become a part of who you are at your core because of the nurture versus nature aspect, right? This is the probably nurture part. And then your nature is probably your moon. You know, how you were just born here to feel about the world and live life through an emotional lens, and how you're going to feel in relationships, safe, and what you're craving for in love. And that's such a huge part of who you are and what you want, and the way that you internalize things and the type of music you like to listen to because of the emotions it elicits and things like that. And then your sun is your ego, your identity. It doesn't have to be a negative thing when we think about ego. Ego is very healthy. It's healthy in its proper dose. It helps us navigate tough situations and advocate for ourselves and lead others and stand on our own two feet and take care of ourselves when the going gets rough. And in a positive sense, it just brings lightheartedness and warmth and positivity and optimism. So the sun is a part of ourselves that we admire in others. And when we are admiring those things in others, we often don't even realize they're who we are, right? It's a positive mirroring going on. So hopefully this gave you something to think about. Again, I do have a blog post on my website, thestaryeyedmystic.com, to read more and learn more. I also have my Big Three class, or your Big Three class, coming up November 3rd. Love to see you live there if you can attend, or grab the recording if not. And sign up for my email newsletter as well if you would like to get more free astrological resources and updates. Okay, thank you so much, and I'm wishing you an amazing day. Much love, and see you next time. Subscribe for more.